good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Bruce and Lorene for their generous support.
Awesome. Yeah, that they are totally supporting us, and we want to just give them a big shout-out, Pinigigi, for supporting Native Roots Radio. Ahu Ho-Chunk Raja Wakunja Haringa Dana. My name's Distant Thunder, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot. And Wendy, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I feel like this is kind of the swan song here, that the three musketeers here are together as one, and we'll be saying see you soon to Ogama here soon, because she has to take a leave of absence, and we're sad about that.
We're sad about that, but we're happy about her future endeavors and adventure.
And Bobby is like a really cool name for a girl, I heard. It's kind of hip.
Yeah.
No? Yeah? I don't know. She doesn't look impressed. Hey, so hey, why don't we get to Ogama and have a nice conversation and have some news? As you know, we do news here that you don't hear anywhere else. So welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuakwe. My name means strong golden eagle woman, and I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. As Robert and Wendy said, this will likely be one of my last in-person live news events, because I will be taking a leave of absence as I am expecting a baby girl in the next couple of weeks. You might catch me a little bit here and there recorded, and I'll still be doing some stuff in the background. But if you're catching me tonight, make sure that you're aware that this is probably my last live broadcast for a few weeks. So I wanted to touch base. We always talk about the big push this year to free Leonard Peltier, as Leonard had COVID-19 and has been a political prisoner now for, is it 46 years, Robert?
Yeah, definitely. Yep,
46 years, yes. So big news happened just yesterday. San Francisco declared February 24th as a day of solidarity with Leonard Peltier. And that is partially coinciding with some big news that Leonard Peltier's lawyer, who is a former federal judge, his name is Kevin Sharp, and he's declared Leonard Peltier innocent on the grounds that he was denied his constitutional rights to a fair trial. And because he declared that innocence, he has also sent in a request to have him released from federal prison. The resolution was submitted by the Board of Supervisors, excuse me, for consideration by Anthony Gonzalez of AIM West, which is a chapter of the American Indian Movement and the American Indian Cultural District. And it was introduced to the Board of Supervisors by Supervisor Hillary Ronan. The resolution mentioned that Peltier has, of course, contracted COVID-19 and has known comorbidities such as diabetes. And the San Francisco Board of Supervisors has said that they will be transmitting a copy of the resolution to President Joe Biden, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader, and U.S. Attorney Generals. So it's very, very exciting, and we really hope that with the added pressure from members of Congress and the International Indian Treaty Council, who have asked Biden to grant clemency and ask for his immediate release, that these things do happen. And want to shout out NativeNewsOnline.net for their wonderful article on this. And also want to shout out a little bit here for Native Roots Radio. Native Roots Trading Post, I should say, has partnered with the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. So if you haven't checked out our website yet, nativerootstradingpost.com, we're currently selling dog tags, but soon we'll be selling t-shirts as well. And proceeds from that will be going to this cause to help free Leonard Peltier, as the push is really, really being made this year. Right, Robert?
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited to send proceeds to that fund and also be legitimate, because there's a lot of counterfeit stuff out there, and we wanted to make sure that we are legitimate when it comes to selling swag for Leonard.
Exactly, exactly. So if you're looking for a legitimate way to support the Free Leonard Peltier movement, checking out nativerootstradingpost.com and buying some dog tags or a t-shirt would be a way to do that. Keep your eyes open for when we get the t-shirts up. I've got an update here on the Dakota Access Pipeline. Robert and Wendy, did you catch the latest news in the Dakota Pipeline?
Yeah, they're trying to fight that, aren't they?
Well, they've been fighting it this whole time, per se. But just this last Tuesday, the Supreme Court rejected a bid, which was led, of course, by the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline Operator Energy Transfer. What they were doing was they were trying to avoid an additional environmental review of a section that runs under Lake Oahe, which is on the North and South Dakota borders. And it was denied by the U.S. Supreme Court. So now that leaves the Dakota Access Pipeline, of course, again, vulnerable to being shut down. It's going to remain in operation while this review is taking place, but it's a step in the right direction that the Supreme Court said, no, you need to do an environmental review because of it running under Lake Oahe, because as we know, the Dakota Access Pipeline is similar to the Line 3 pipeline here in Minnesota, similar to the Line 5 pipeline in Wisconsin and Michigan, similar to the pipeline that Enbridge is trying to install in the southern states down off of the Gulf of Mexico, I believe, in Texas as well. So there's just so many similarities that come in with these projects not having a proper environmental impact statement done. And it's really just, it's heartbreaking to watch these projects come through. Another one that's in Minnesota here that's not had a proper environmental review is the Huber Mill. The Huber Engineered Woods plant is planning to open near Cohasset, Minnesota. And the mill would be built just a mile east of the Leech Lake Reservation and source about 400,000 cords of wood every year, which would be a mix from public and private forests in the region. But the state legislature completely exempted the project from needing to complete an in-depth environmental impact statement up front, which upset environmentalists, the rival mill, and business groups. The Cohasset City Council is still maybe going to require a lengthier review. If you happen to catch Native Roots Radio's page, we did have a post to link to this Cohasset City Council's. Cohasset City Council was seeking input on whether or not they should have an additional environmental study. But Winona LaDuke, who's the executive director of Honor the Earth, basically said we have a right that it needs to be proven to us that it's not going to hurt us. The engineered wood plant creates OSB, which is a type of board where it's made from mince pieces of wood and lots of really different toxic types of glue, and those powders and those toxins can readily get into the environment surrounding the plant. So there's a lot of problems with that, not to mention the deforestation that could be happening. Happening in northern Minnesota, the Red Lake Nation has sent a letter to Commissioner of Natural Resources, or the DNR, in Minnesota, Sarah Strawman, indicating that the Red Lake Band of Chippewa Indians is going to be in clear objection to a proposed bear hunt in northern Minnesota at the northwest angle. The state is sponsoring a bear hunt at the northwest angle of Minnesota, and the Red Lake Nation is opposing to that because it does not respect the Red Lake Band's land ownership, because many of the parcels and about 80% of the land in the northwest angle is owned by the Red Lake Band, and many do not have access via public roads. So that would mean that people would be trespassing on Red Lake land to take part in that bear hunt. So, oh man, there's one more quick piece of news here too. In Wyoming, there's going to be 40 locations that have the word squaw removed from their names by the Department of the Interior. So good news in Wyoming.
Well, it's great to see all the congratulations for you, Ogama. We're going to miss you, and God knows I'm going to miss you, right, Wendy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to miss her, too. Absolutely.
Hey, up next, State Senator Mary Kunish of Minnesota. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I feel like this is like the best of or something. We got State Senator Mary Kunish on, and Ogama's last day for a while, and Wendy's back in town. It's crazy. I don't know. I was kind of at yesterday's show, Wendy, I was kind of, I know you were flying home then, and mm-hmm. I was kind of like talking to Robert Lilligren about, wow, I'm really depressed. I don't know why. Is it because of all the things that are happening with Ukraine? Mm-hmm.
I think it's got everybody down a little bit.
Yeah, but now I feel pretty good psychologically because you're home.
Oh, good. And I'm glad to be home.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're home, and reunion's going to be going on all weekend, so Wendy, I'm glad you're here. But hey, back out of our personal life here, Wendy, why don't we get
started? Reunited, and it feels so good. That's all I can think of.
Wow, yeah. And pretty good singing there for a state senator, right?
That's right.
Thank you very much.
Ooh, that was kind of Elvis there, too, there. The thank you very much. Hey, which he said that he was Native American, but he had no bloodline to the Elvis. Oh. Always said he was Native American, so.
Oh.
Yeah, boo on him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, hey, State Senator, what's going on? How are you feeling? I know with this Ukraine thing happening, sovereign nations, just the parallels, and I was really kind of crying on Robert Logren's shoulder last night about what's happening here in Indian country. And how are you taking it? And how are you this week?
You know, there's just so many frightful things going on. I mean, it's just frightful things going on, whether it's really bad legislation that's being offered at the Minnesota Senate. This whole thing with the Ukraine is so unbelievably bizarre. I have a good friend, I used to do daycare for her, and she brought her her infant son to my daycare, and he grew up like my son. I mean, literally, he and my son did the blood brother thing, and to this day, they are as close as can be. And her parents are from the Ukraine, so she's first generation. Her parents spoke the language. I mean, the food was incredible she would bring me, and it's just heartbreaking to know, just like any other, you know, any other insurgents, that those are people, and those are people with family all over the world that are worried about them. And you think about, you know, last week, this was a booming economy and people were walking around freely and, you know, concerned. But now you look at the pictures and their towns are being bombed out and they're being invaded. And it's just extremely, extremely upsetting. I watched it for like 2 days straight, and I almost wondered, is this real, or is this like right from back in the 1940s when it was World War II?
Well, it's the worst attack since World War II.
Yeah.
And people that don't know, like myself, there's 40 million people in Ukraine. And like you said, it's an economy that is amazing. The president was a former comedian, and now he's president. And I think what shocks me is that what was happening before, and the Republicans, the way they were talking about almost supporting Putin over Biden. And it's just, it blows my mind how hopefully our country can pull together and be united over this. But boy, it was sure shaky in the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there were a lot of, you know, I think that he and Trump had a lot of mutual admiration for each other. Yeah. And without Trump there to, you know, kind of kowtow to him, he's now frantically looking for some kind of a power play. And unfortunately, the Ukraine is it. So, yeah, really heartbreaking.
You know, what's interesting, State Senator, I had gotten a couple texts during I think it was Monday that I reached out to you about what was going on and about education. And that was going live and people were texting me going, what in the heck is going on? Can you explain a little of that? Because to me, they sent me the link and I was watching it and I'm just going, oh my goodness, what are we in the upside down world? Could you explain a little bit of what's under attack basically?
Yeah, we really are in an upside down world. And I think it is sort of the results of this pandemic and people's lives being turned upside down and sideways. And they're afraid, they're scared. They don't, you know, their world of safety has been, you know, eroded and disrupted. And, you know, when people get like that, they lash out. They look for some kind of reason for the discombobulation of their lives. So I think what you're talking about is a hearing that we had in the Education Policy and Finance Committee at the Minnesota Senate. And it was a presentation of some of the parents' Bill of Rights, it's called. And this is a right-wing movement across the nation. Across the nation, it's really like an attack on teachers and schools. And they have it under the guise. It's also another way to union bust the teachers' unions and to, you know, pretty much destroy the controls of or the ability to teach a well-rounded, well-versed curriculum that includes diversity, equity talk, you know, being able to talk about LGBT, you know, just civil rights in general. And so there's like five bills and all these different schools are, our states are seeing this. And one of the senators says, you know, we're seeing the rights of parents eroded over time and replaced by heavy-handed bureaucracy. And that's not just not happening. And that was Senator Justin Eichhorn. He represents way up north. And he made one correct statement. He said it's the fundamental right of parents to direct the upbringing and education of their children. And it absolutely is. But it is also the responsibility of the state legislature to fund and outline, you know, create the ability to build structure around curriculum and standards and expectations. And so there's this Parents' Bill of Rights that says schools, districts can't withhold information from about their children's well-being or education, which, yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yep. If your child's not well, they're going to contact you and tell them, hey, come get Robert. He's not feeling well today. But right. I think what this is really getting to is, you know, when schools, well, there's the one story of the young man who was emancipated from his parents for, and I can't tell you exact reasons, but he was emancipated then, was going through, you know, a gender change, mm-hmm. and the school wasn't telling the parents about it. The parents didn't have custody, and they were suing the birth parents were suing the family or the school because the school wasn't telling them what was going on. Huh. You know, it's goofy stuff like that. A savings account, creating savings accounts with taxpayer dollars that would go into an account, and then they could be used for non-public schools. So parochial schools, private mm-hmm. schools, all of those sort of things, which is just another way of saying vouchers. And yep. we know that public schools are underfunded to begin with. Mm-hmm. And if you know, again, it's a fundamental right for you to send your kid to whatever school you want to send them to. But you've got free public education at your fingertips. If you choose not to do that, then that's out of your pocket. And you know, I'm not gonna lie. I went to parochial schools all my life. Elementary school, the little Catholic school that was right across the alley. I went to a Catholic high school because that's where everyone else in my family went. Went to Catholic college, women's college, because that's where all the women went. But I paid for that, and those were my choices. And my parents had a lot of hardship, you know, getting all these kids through elementary school. We had to pay. I mean, as a high school student, I paid my own tuition for high school. I paid mm-hmm. my own college. So, you know, that's the parents' choice, and then it's up to them to make that payment. You know, saying that if parents want to know what the curriculum is, the school has to provide it immediately and at no cost. So somebody could go in there and say, I want the curriculum for the entire school and I want you to print it out. And somehow the, you know, somebody has to drop whatever they're doing and do that. But the thing is, all of that information is at the parents' fingertips. Mm-hmm. We have just been in online schooling. Parents have parent portals where they see the curriculum, the homework, the things that kids have done and haven't done. It's all there. We don't need to be legislating.
Yeah, it's an attack on education here in Minnesota and the unions. I know in the 80s and 90s, people came from all over the country to come and see how we were teaching students, and now this is what we have. We're underfunded. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Smart radio for smart people. That's the Tom Hartman program. Listen to me, Tom Hartman, from 11 a.m. to 2, right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950 for Snap Construction again. Does your home feel colder than it should with the furnace constantly running? Or do certain rooms always feel colder than the rest of the house? Those are signs the attic in your home may need an insulation upgrade. Snap Construction can help by providing a free energy audit for your home's insulation. The average cost of getting new insulation can cost much less than a new furnace. Plus, Snap Construction is a BPI certified installer. That means if you use Snap for your next insulation project, you qualify for up to $650 in total rebates from your energy provider. After my free inspection, my insulation upgrade was completed within a few weeks and the rebate check was in the mail. Snap to it and reduce your heating bill this winter with Snap Construction. Call 612-333-SNAP, that's 612-333-SNAP, for your free energy audit when you mention AM 950. Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor and insulation company in the metro.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Shamblot from Shamblot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. And we'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
Shamblot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at shamblotfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Clear tonight with a low of 4 above, then Saturday sunshine with a high of 34. Hazel's Northeast offers the most creative comfort food you'll find for any meal of the day. Hazel's is located at 29th Avenue and Johnson Street in Northeast Minneapolis, minutes from 35W. More at hazelsnetogo.com.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, thank you, Wendy. We're here with State Senator Mary Kunish of Minnesota, and we're talking about education. And it's interesting, two of the biggest, I think two of the three, I think Anoka is bigger, but the Minneapolis teachers and the St. Paul teachers are going to be striking, it sounds like, very soon. And me being a former teacher, I can see it's again, the upside down world. When State Senator, if you remember when COVID first hit, St. Paul Public Schools was on strike for the first time since 1946. Yeah. And basically we got the word we better go back because COVID's going to close down the schools so we can have our health care. And so we resolved the strike and we're back one day. And then COVID hit and we were all out of school and doing distance learning. And what a mess. And still, you know, it's just got to be hard. And I was lucky to... get a different job, so to speak, and retired from teaching. And I know you retired too. And it's just hard for me to see our allies, former people that we worked with, go through these big struggles of everywhere from mental health, from the students and the teachers and the workers, to too many meetings, people not doing the correct thing for the students. I don't know. It's just it's really sad and disheartening.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, again, I think it comes back to the fact that we are not meeting our responsibilities as a state to fully fund education. I really do believe that Absolutely. That it comes down to that. The current chair of our education policy committee is a Republican. And we aren't hearing bills about how we're going to address these mental health issues, how we are going to build support systems when kids and teachers are back in the classroom full time, how we're going to make sure that we have bus drivers that are paid well and are transporting kids safely back and forth. No, we're hearing bills about using like $30 million on a reading program, which I believe in the reading program. So this is not about the reading program, mm-hmm. but like $30 million to a private company of taxpayer dollars again to run this literacy program for third graders across Minnesota. Wow. My idea would be to take that $30 million. Can you imagine how many like teaching assistants or paras that would afford? You could put a para and or two teachers in every single classroom as we go back. That would improve everything, not just literacy, but everything. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I first started teaching, the Minnesota legislature had a cap on class sizes.
Yeah.
And they paid extra money. We used to pay a lot of money. We used to invest. We used to keep up with inflation. And education was our primary, focus. And then, you know, political parties changed, governors changed, and we didn't have that focus on education. And so the class sizes got larger and the schools started closing. And, you know, that was the beginning of so many of the problems, along with, you know, race to the top and No Child Left Behind, where basically we ended up teaching to the tests.
Right.
No more of a well-rounded, enjoyable kind of education experience. It was cram that stuff into this kid's head and then put them in front of a computer as fast as you can and hope that they are showing progress. That's not right. The way to teach.
Well, I know when I was teaching with No Child Left Behind, we hired a lot of math teachers. So guess what happened? The math scores went up. I mean, mm-hmm. duh. I mean, this underfunding of teachers, I had the opportunity to, we'd go from classroom to classroom and check out people's classes, you know, and how they're teaching a few years before I retired. And there was a science class that had 45 kids in it.
Yeah.
45 kids and one teacher. And I think there was one para. And another thing about paras too is like, let's pay these people a living wage. How about that to start with? And then we can really, it's a matter of dollars and cents. And it makes no sense that we're talking about spending $30 million for this program where the boots on the ground could tell you to do it in their own salary, how to fix things, and they're not their hands are tied. One of the things, Mary, I wanted to ask you too. I think when I brought this up, I couldn't believe the rudeness that was set towards you by these white male Republicans. I know you probably you're too classy to talk about this, but I just want to say it really upset me, and I wish I was there because I would have said something.
Yeah, it. You know, there are those that don't appreciate being contradicted or challenged, especially when you can, you know, show the errors of the legislation or their reasoning. And they just don't like to be challenged. They think this is the way to do it. And, you know, I feel like their job is to convince me that this is a good idea. If you can convince me that this is a really good idea, I want to see, you know, some data. I want to see some, you know, past experiences. I just always have a million questions. But I need clarification. If I'm going to be spending tax dollars, taxpayers' dollars, and I'm going to be putting this towards education or the environment or healthcare, I want to make sure that we are being the best stewards of our policy and of our of the money, and that we're going to have the best, you know, the biggest bang for our dollar is really what we're looking for. And when you get these people that are legislators that have their own special interest, that, you know, are so narrow-minded, they don't see the big picture, and then get upset when somebody doesn't agree with them, I just think they're in the wrong place. And I don't quite understand how those communities that they represent can be pleased with that.
You know, I the attack on education, the Republicans don't have any ideas. They just have attack. I mean, give us an idea that we can deal with. And again, at the end of the second segment, I was saying Minnesota used to be the top of education. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we as an inner city teachers, we cannot be measured the same way a suburban school can be measured. We have students that, you know, don't know where they're going to sleep the next night. I mean, we have all these different issues that these people don't understand. You know, we're lucky to have these students come in because there's so much things going on in their life that's out of their control, but it's affecting them to the max and affecting their teaching affecting their learning. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. We need to forget this, you know, money per student and support these schools evenly and equally across this state. That's what we need to do.
Oh, well, and it's not, I would just have to say not equally, but equitably, because equity means you are meeting the needs of those unique persons. Right. Equal means everybody gets the same, but not everybody needs the same. Not everybody has those same issues or has the funds. So some of the wealthier communities can tax their wealthy community members and have big, beautiful gyms and all kinds of programming, where maybe you've got a small town that doesn't have, you know, businesses to tax or a lot of individuals, so they don't even have a gym. Or, you know, I use the example of drinking water. If your community doesn't have a tax base to create a clean water system, and then the next one over has, you know, tons of money and they have, you know, clean water, we need to help the folks that don't have it. And so it's about meeting the people where they are and providing the resources that they need uniquely. And so, you know, I had to make that point in one of these hearings when a testifier was talking about, you know, you can't teach CRT and you can't teach, you know, equity and diversity and blah, 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 blah. And it was just, it's arrived in Minnesota. It's like the pandemic. We hear about it, you know, way over there, and we think it'll never make it to Minnesota. Well, this new virus, an educational virus, has hit us, and it's hit us hard. And we have to work really hard to, basically flip the Minnesota Senate and keep the House majority. And then we can do some really, really good stuff.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that, because we really do. We really, really do. And thank you for really reminding me that it's equity too, that and not equal. That's I think that's what Ogama wanted to jump in, and you beat her to it. Yeah, these conversations, State Senator, are imperative. We need to. One of the things I think maybe the Democratic Party doesn't understand is that we need to fire up our base, and that's on this show, supporting progressive radio stations like AM 950, Devil's Radio in Wisconsin, and WJOB, and do that, and we need to really fire up the base again, because it's so many different things in the attack on our democracy and BIPOC people, and it is still just happening. So thank you so much for your words. As always, we really appreciate you being on, State Senator Mary Kunesh. Thank you very much, Mary.
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage, because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
I don't know if Mary howled. Oh, I got you on mute, darn it. Shoot. Hey, so we're still here with State Senator Mary Kunesh, who's graciously stayed on here. Wendy's still dealing with some jet lag here, so it's awesome that you can come on. But so do you have any response to what I said there at the end, that we really need to like fire up the base, and we're not going to change the mind of 45% of this country?
Yeah, I actually do agree with you, and I didn't stay on. Olga asked me a question in the chat, and so I'm trying to get her the answer, but I absolutely do agree with you. Last election, we had some really fantastic turnout, especially in Indian country. I think we had the highest participation historically ever across the nation, and that certainly was true here in Minnesota. And so I'm hoping that we have, you know, as great a turnout, if not even better, because the interesting thing about Minnesota with the redistricting is that the northern half of Minnesota is home to, you know, most of our Anishinaabe, Ojibwe reservations and communities on and off reservation.
Yep.
And when we were here having hearings for redistricting, they were very adamant. Many came to testify, and non-Native folks as well testified to say that we should get all the reservations. The reservations should be redistricted together because they are unique communities. They're sovereign mm-hmm. nations. They have special interests. And so the judges who did the final map actually did that. They district all of those reservations into one congressional district.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So that makes a powerhouse of our native folks. And mm-hmm. so I know there are Republican native folks, there are, you know, Democrats, there are Marijuana Party and libertarians. I mean, there's a wide variety. But when you look at the kind of legislation that has positive effect and recognizes the sovereignty of our Native folks the best, it's the Democrats.
Yeah.
It really is the Democrats. And, you know, I remember going to when I was in the House of Representatives, I had a bill to create equity assistance for our four BIE, Bureau of Indian Education schools, because the federal government was giving those schools even worse. And they're the ones who are supposed to be 100% responsible for those schools per the treaties. And I went to a Minnesota representative who is an enrolled White Bear, White Earth member, and asked him for his support on this. And he just looked at me, he's like, why would we give them any more money? We already give them so much money. Totally. So, I mean, that sentence, why would we give them mm-hmm. any more money, tells you that, you know, and he did not vote in the best, in positive support of our Native communities in a lot of different instances. So it always comes down to representation matters. It doesn't matter what color your skin is or your religion or where you live. You need to look at the voting records of those folks that represent you at all the different levels of elected officials, and are they really doing the work that has the best interest of the community or not, vote accordingly.
Absolutely. And I think, too, we're rubbing up here on Native Roots Radio for Rock the Vote Native Style again, and hopefully you have the capacity to help out with that. Last time, Nancy Bolio and her crew up there, she co-hosts that with me, and they helped get 9,000 people up there in the deep north, Native Americans,
registered,
thank you, for the first time ever. And so we can do that again, and we just have, and especially with what you're talking about here. So I'm excited to really get that going again, because I think we had a lot of capacity when we were doing our symposiums on Sunday nights with new politicians and Rock the Vote Native Style. It really worked out, and I think we're going to be doing that again with your help, State Senator.
I hope so. I would love to be able to support, not just Native folks, but those that have those progressive values and recognize the necessity to do a good job of representing. And yeah, I remember speaking with a couple elders, a couple ladies who had never voted in a general election. They thought they could only vote in tribal elections. Wow. And remember, it was not so long ago that the Native American people got the right to vote in their own flipping country. Right. And I just remember one of them calling me personally after she voted. And she's like, I just voted for the very first time in my life. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it was a beautiful thing, you know? So we have a lot of work to do, and I'm down to help whatever I can do, not only in Minnesota, but if there are others that are wondering about how to do this or why to do it or what the issues are, I'm happy to help anyone and everybody just to make sure that we can really create a good world for everyone.
Right. I agree with getting the progressive people on, too, that support our needs. But also, it's interesting, too, we had 13 of the 14 Native American candidates in the last cycle here in Minnesota win. So I think we're on a good roll when it comes to our people. We just have to push them out. And I see Alan Roy is running now. And, of course, Joy Peltier is going to be running up there. And there will be more people coming out, especially now that the redistricting has come out.
There are a lot of open seats across Minnesota, both in the House and in the Senate. From northern Minnesota, like District 1, the northwest corner, we're looking for a good, you know, a good candidate to run on the progressive side up there. But all over the state, you know, it doesn't matter if you're living on a reservation or not. If you're in a community, you're Native American, since we're on Native Roots Radio, or you are a good progressive folk, let us know. Call me up or email me at the and let me know, and we will help you. I mean, we have an incredible campaign team put together. We have raised more money than we have ever raised before, and we are determined. We are very, very determined.
Well, let's fire up the base for sure. I appreciate that. And thank you so much, Wendy. Do you want to thank State Senator for...
Absolutely. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish. As always, it's always great to see you. And thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, welcome back, Wendy. It's good to see you sitting across there.
Yeah,
I'm sure you're so happy to have you home, huh?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, they are. Yes.
All right.
We're going to say see you soon to Ogama as she takes some time off for her very important event in her life. And again, Bobby's an acceptable name for a girl. I just want to throw that out there.
We'll be in touch with you, though, Ogama. This is not goodbye for us.
Goodbye
for the listening audience.
I've never said goodbye. I said see you later,
Exactly.
Pinigigi State Senator Mary Kunish.
Bye, everyone.
We will talk to you soon, Ogama. I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Penny Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop line 3. Please get vaccinated and boosted.